it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer live from the Erie County Fair, where I think it actually has stopped raining for now. So it's a comfortable day, not as hot as it was yesterday. So if you're coming down, don't forget to stop by the Odyssey tent. We have our friends from the SPCA here. You can play Plinko for $1 and win some cool prizes and have your money go to a great cause. And I will be hosting two ceremonies this evening. We'll talk more about that in the second hour. But we are joined this segment by New York State Assemblyman Paul Bologna. Paul, good morning. Welcome back to Hardline.
Thank you very much for having me on, Joe. 13 days, brother. South Carolina and Virginia Tech.
14 days, and I can't wait.
Yes, 14. No, it's on a Sunday. Sunday.
Yeah, we get the 3 o'clock Sunday before Labor Day game in an NFL stadium that Virginia Tech hasn't played in yet. But the old stadium that used to sit there, they only won once in like 10 attempts. So, you know, we're going against history and against the SEC in game one.
It's all right. Big game, though, bud. Big game.
Can't wait, man. I can't wait. Here in New York, I'm telling you, this week we got a lot of texts talking about electric prices going up. Paul, how did we get to this point in New York State?
How much time do you got?
much as you need.
I got to tell you something. So this has been, I've been trying to beat the drum on this back since 2019. That's when all this was conceived with the CLCPA. Now, people don't necessarily, you know, this kind of got flown in under the radar, but for years, there has been basically deadlines and benchmarks that New York State has to meet according to this new law. So by December 31st, 2025, any new build in New York State has to be all electric. There are other benchmarks that the CLCPA has in place that basically affect it effectively bans natural gas by, we have to have 100% zero emission electricity by 2040, 70% renewable energy by 2030. It basically does everything it can without saying we're banning fossil fuels, but we're banning fossil fuels because basically the law does not allow you to use them. So now, how does that increase your rates? Well, basically, our electrical system, transfers, substations, transmission lines, hasn't been upgraded since the 70s. So now what we're doing is we're telling new builds, residents, commercial buildings, that everyone has to be on the new electric grid. Basically, you go from trying to fill a swimming pool with a garden hose to trying to refill Lake Erie with a garden hose. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to have rolling blackouts, unreliable energy, all the things that we know is going to happen. So, again, we haven't quite gotten to how this translates into rate increases. Well, there was no money in any of the budgets to upgrade this infrastructure. And New York State basically said, well, energy companies, this is on you. You need to upgrade all of the infrastructure. And Joe, this is going to cost tens of billions of dollars. So the energy companies say, okay, well, if we have to upgrade our infrastructure to accommodate all this new electricity and new usage, we're going to pass it on to the ratepayers. Hence why everyone is seeing their bills go up. Hence why on August 14th, the Public Service Commission agreed of a 20% increase from that grid. So that is why you're seeing it. It is a direct result of this deranged and obsessive green energy and universal electrification coming out of New York State. So I want people to know something. When they get an increased bill, it is because New York State made it so. So that's how we got here.
It doesn't make any sense, Paul. If we're going to mandate electricity, wouldn't you want to make it more attractive for people? I mean, this just seems like, hey, we're going to make you use it, and we're going to take more money from you.
You know, the thing is, too, in talking to my colleagues, talking to residents, business owners, no one necessarily has a problem with electrification. The problem that everyone has is A, the ridiculous timeline, but B, it's literally being forced down our throats and we're being forced to pay for it. And I think that the term that we're hearing now is energy choice. And that is something that I'm a big proponent of. I believe, and I've said this before on your show, that the market should dictate the energy consumption in New York State. Essentially, what New York State is doing is they're mandating an unprecedented generational shift in energy consumption. And they're fully injecting the state into the market, which requires private companies to spend billions on infrastructure and eliminating traditional energy sources. And I've said this, if you want to stabilize an economy, you have to have a wide array of energy choices to use from. And this protects against, you know, market volatility, and this is hedging. So again, I'm a market person. I believe in market-driven solutions, and this is the exact opposite of that. So I actually drafted a bill, and it's now introduced, and it is called the New York State Energy Choice Act. And it is, well, let me look at the bill number here. It's A8996. And it allows local governments to basically opt out of all the mandates of the CLCPA. And if your town wants to, you know, maintain natural gas usage and have its building code accommodate natural gas, you should be able to do that. Now, again, I would prefer a full repeal of the CLCPA. But this is the next level of what I think is acceptable and workable for the residents of New York State.
So, you know, other than that, Paul, I mean, your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, no one's saying anything. I mean, you stated at the beginning of this what these mandates and what the extra stress on the grid will bring. No one on the other side is saying, maybe we should pump the brakes. This is going to turn into a mess like we see in California. No one on the other side. Everyone's just going full gas ahead. No pun intended.
Well, I mean, you can kind of see, you know, where the New York City mayoral candidate, you know, Zohran Mamdani, is kind of the talking head of the party now. You know, he's undercut the governor in terms of, you know, whatever the hell her message would be. And they are fully committed to this. And it's a real problem because, you know, they're devoid of logic in this regard. And again, this is one of those things where, you know, New York City is kind of, you know, the tail is wagging the dog in this. And what I think is going to happen is that in January 1st of 2026, you know, the general public is actually going to realize, oh, I can't use natural gas, or I can't build new with natural gas. And every one of these benchmarks that comes, more and more people are going to realize, like, oh, I'm not allowed to use natural gas. I'm going to call my, you know, state official. And I think that's the only way that it's going to reach a critical mass is when the public actually realizes what the heck just happened. That's when it's going to start to change. The public needs to be enraged about this, as enraged as I am about this.
You know, Paul, I know last time we talked, I asked this exact same question, but it's to me, this is, you know, it's the deadline. So we know the new builds date. Is there a date set for when it will be outlawed to purchase gas appliances in New York State?
Off the top of my head, I think 2030 or 2040 is when that would happen. Zero emission electricity by 2040.
So the end goal is to just rush the gas companies, the fuel companies out of New York State completely.
Yes, the end goal of all of this is that we're all driving electric cars. We all live in a completely electric world in New York State. And just for the record, there's a crazy fallacy out there that somehow going all electric is somehow going to save the planet. And look, I don't know anybody that wants to destroy the planet. That's really not, you know, my goal. That's not what I'm about. But you can't destroy an economy, you know, on your way to trying to do so. And if we really want to save the planet, you know, let's take a look at China. Let's take a look at Russia. Let's take a look at India and those polluters. And if you really want to save the environment, I think the way that you do it is you make the American economy strong. And what you do is you leverage that strength, with other countries in terms of, trade deals, in terms of how, you're interacting with other countries, and you force them to come down to American market standards. And that is how you save the environment. You don't do it by basically crippling New York State's economy. And if you want to make the American economy strong, you need to keep New York State's economy strong. And I can tell you right now, with this governor, we have not done that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, this is one of those things, Paul, where if I was in any other state, I'd sit there with my popcorn and say, I can't wait to watch this crumble. But it's completely hits different when it's the state you live in and love and are trying to make work.
It is one of the most frustrating things to watch. And it's like you said, it's like watching, a burning building and someone hands you a squirt gun to try to put it out.
Unbelievable. Other things, and I'm sorry, of course that happens as soon as this excavator is coming right in front of our tent. Another thing that we've heard the governor talking about, we've actually heard her talking about this more recently, is redistricting. She's been, all over the main outlets over the last few Sundays. Are we to the point where that's being discussed in the assembly? Where are we on the governor and her fight fire with fire redistricting?
Well, there's a couple things here. There's a lot to unpack here. Number one, I'd find it rich that Kathy Hochul and New York State Democrats are talking about, election laws and equality and all that stuff. In 2022, they drew maps that were so blatantly biased that a panel of Democratic judges threw them out. They ignored a public referendum. Opposing the use of absentee ballots and pass legislation to expand it anyway. They basically, any election, court case in New York State now has to only be heard in jurisdictions that have exclusively Democratic judges. So the fact that they're trying to talk about, election integrity, give me a break. Number two, first off, logistically, we'd have to pass a New York State constitutional amendment. They would have to pass two legislatures in order to change how we redistrict in New York State. So to me, this is just political theater. But I would love to see our governor, have the same type of zeal and fight, when it comes back to the energy, bail reform, raise the age, the HALT Act. A number of these things that actually impact people's lives. I'm really happy to see that she's getting upset about something. I mean, that's great. But if we're talking about repealing really crappy pieces of legislation, we should really start with the CLCPA, the energy, and all these other bills, because they actually matter in people's lives. So my suggestion to everyone would be this. My state legislative colleagues from Texas who decided to abandon ship when they didn't like what was going on, get in line, because as a member of the minority caucus in the state assembly, you still show up to work, you still fight, and you find ways to get your point across and provide for your constituents. I don't go to California. I don't go to Texas or South Carolina every time we pass a bill that I don't like in New York State. So my suggestion then would be get back to work.
Yeah, if you did, you'd have to get a vacation home in one of those states.
Tell me about it.
Paul, another thing that we've been talking a lot about here. Funny, the guy running for mayor on the Democrat side who's currently in the New York State Senate doesn't want to talk about this, but something that is being
assembly.
Talked about, especially in...
Sean Ryan. I thought you meant Zoran Mandami. Yeah, Sean Ryan is in the Senate. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
No problem. Sean Ryan's running for mayor of Buffalo. And obviously crime is an issue in the city of Buffalo. If you talk to people who actually live in the city of Buffalo, and it's funny, the guy who's in Senate doesn't want to do interviews because he knows that will come up. You know, Paul, it's for years now, cashless bail has been an issue and raise the age has been an issue. I've had Democratic DAs on this show speaking against their party. How in Albany has this not changed? How are we still here when, again, you've got the mayor of Albany speaking out on this? You've got Democrats in the city of Buffalo speaking out against this, yet there doesn't seem to be an appetite on the Democratic side of either the Assembly or the Senate in Albany.
Because there has been a fundamental shift in this state, and really within the Democratic Party of this state, where there is a new default setting. The default setting is not to support law enforcement. It is to, you know, provide forgiveness and deference to those who have been accused and those who have been convicted. And it's basically contempt for law enforcement and victims. That is the new default setting. And it was written into the statute of the bail reform laws. So the judiciary, the court systems, are taking their cue from the legislature, because the legislature in the bail reform laws basically said that we now want them to use the courts to act with the least restrictive means, meaning that we do not want to hold people. We want to default to release. That has been the goal. And you can see this with the HALT Act with the corrections officers, where basically that whole entire strike led to the governor closing a few more prisons and is now talking about providing early release for, quote, nonviolent criminals. But I can promise you that your definition and my definition of nonviolent criminals is a hell of a lot different than hers. And that's where this is all coming from. This is all a fundamental shift in how we are approaching criminal justice. And again, you know, I have a fairly decent relationship with Sean Ryan, but that's where it is. There's a fundamental philosophical shift where they default to the criminal, and it's wrong. It doesn't keep people safe. It doesn't keep our streets safe. And honestly, it's an economic issue too, because when people don't feel safe going into the city, they're not going to spend their money in the city. So it is an issue that needs to be fixed, and the bail reform laws need to be repealed.
You know, it is amazing to me that in New York City, where, I mean, we are seeing this issue, you hear from business owners, that someone like Mamdani was able to win a primary because, you know, again, I talk to people I know in New York. Now, yes, Paul, they think more like you and I, but they talk about, you know, how big of an issue that is. You know, they don't want to go on the subways. There's certain businesses that, you know, they have to avoid because they just don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be in the city with, you know, people getting arrested for something and getting right back out on the street. I mean, were you surprised that someone as radical as him was able to win that primary?
After being in the Assembly for 8 months, no, not really. That's pretty much standard. That is the new, you know, and again, there is a generational shift, and there is a younger, more, you know, utopian-looking idealist that is becoming the average Democrat, and that is taking over from, you know, your older, you know, I'm going to say Blue Dog Democrats, Kennedy Democrats, you know, that were, you know, that were a little bit more moderate. The new baseline for the Democratic Party has shifted so far to the left that it's almost unrecognizable. So no, honestly, it really doesn't surprise me, because in Albany, some of the things that we see, it's scary. It's honestly, living and being a resident of New York State, I have fears of what I'm going to see next session coming out and where they're going to go next. That's what scares me.
And Paul, we know that we'll be talking with you through it, and you'll be giving us the updates.
Sounds good. I really appreciate it, Joe.
Hey, man. Appreciate it. As always, that is Assemblyman Paul Bologna joining us here on Hardline. When we come back, we're going to hear from the opponent of Sean Ryan, James Gardner. He spoke with me earlier in the week. We'll be hearing from him. And at 11:30, we'll be talking with someone from the fair on the final day of the Erie County Fair. It's Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.